सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। देवान् भावयतानेन देवान् भावयतानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु वः ते देवा भावयन्तु वः परस्परं भावयन्तः परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यत श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यत। देवान् भावयतानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु वः परस्परं भावयन्तः श्रेयः परमवाप्स्यत। इष्टान् भोगान् किमो देवाः इष्टान् भोगान् किमो देवाः दास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः दास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः तैर्दत्तानप्रधायेभ्यः तैर्दत्तानं प्रयातेभ्यः यो भुङ्क्तेस्तेन एव सः यो भुङ्क्तेस्तेन एव सः इष्टान् भोगान् किमो देवाः धास्यन्ते यज्ञभाविताः तैर्दत्तानप्रधायेभ्यः यो भुङ्क्तेस्तेन एव सः यज्ञशिष्टाशिनसंस्तः यज्ञशिष्टाशिनसंस्तः मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वघं पापाः भुञ्जते ते त्वघं पापाः हे पचन्त्यात्मकारणात् हे पचन्त्यात्मकारणात् यज्ञशिष्टाशिनसन्तः मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वघं पापाः हे पचन्त्यात्मकारणात् अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः अन्नात् भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जन्यादन्न सम्भवः यज्ञात् भवति पर्जन्यः यज्ञकर्म समुद्भवः कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं वेत्ति कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं वेत्ति ब्रह्माक्षर समुद्भवम् ब्रह्माक्षर समुद्भवम् तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितम् नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितम् कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं वेत्ति ब्रह्माक्षर समुद्भवम् तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितम्। He has been talking about the performance of Yajna. He says those who perform Yajna get liberated. Actions that are done other than for the sake of Yajna bind you. So for liberation, all that you need to do is to engage in action, but engage in the action in the spirit of Yajna. So he says in 11, nourishing the gods nourish you. Nourishing one another, may you attain Shreya. Arjuna asks for what is good, Shreya. So Lord Krishna says, Shreya, what is good for you? Ultimately, what is good for everybody is knowledge of Atma. Remember that. Knowledge of Atma alone can solve the problem of samsara. The problem of samsara is not because there is some problem inherent in samsara. It is because the person who is in samsara lacks the knowledge of his true nature. So out of ignorance, ajnanam, when you live in this world, you bind yourself more and more. You create more and more vasanas. More vasanas will make you to be born again and again. You get caught in the cycle of birth and death. So if you want to free yourself from the cycle of samsara, then you need to gain knowledge, because the direct antidote for ignorance, ajnanam, is knowledge. And we are talking about ajnanam of your true nature. So knowledge, which is the knowledge in the context we are talking about, is knowledge of Atma. That alone is the one which will give you Shreya. Right? But to gain the knowledge of Atma, you need to be introverted. Only to the extent you are introverted, to that extent you can gain knowledge. So there are various qualifications given in the scriptures for an adhikari. Right? So, to be able to gain the knowledge, you need to be introverted. And introversion will not come unless you do karma yoga, which is what he said in the third verse of this chapter. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yogina. For extroverted people, you have to go through action, perform action in the spirit of yajna, slowly rise above it, mind becomes free from the entanglements of this life, it becomes available for the study of scripture, Vedanta, and through that you can realize yourself. So you must move from selfish actions to selfless actions or yajna activity, and the yajna activity will give you the required mental qualifications to gain the knowledge and absorb the knowledge, and through absorption of knowledge, which is done through shravana, manana and nididhyasana, through listening, reflecting and meditating, you establish yourself in knowledge, and thus you free yourself from samsara. So therefore, you have to perform yajna activity. Those who get benefits from gods and do not pay back to gods, devas, the manifested powers. We are blessed with so many things by the nature, the manifested power, and we all have obligation to pay back. We are not in the mental sannyasi level, or even we are not following sannyasi lifestyle, saying I don't need any of these things. We are so much dependent and we are so much a consumer. A sannyasi is not a consumer. He is not at all depending himself on this life. Hardly anything he takes. You understand? But we are great consumers. So we are taking benevolence from the nature. We have obligation to give back. So when you understand this as a grihastha, that you have to pay back, and if you live a life where you don't pay back, you don't act at all in this world, giving back to the manifested powers, to devas, then he calls such a person or such people as stena eva sara. Even if you forget the verse number 12, don't forget this. Stena eva saha means what? He is a thief. He is a thief. So remember that construction. Stena eva saha. One who eats without producing. One who takes from the blessings of the totality, partakes the blessings of the totality, but never repays. Enjoys but doesn't pay back. Okay, and the next category which he talks about in 13, he talks about two other categories in 13, verse number 13. One is rajasic and the other one is sattvic. The one he spoke about in 12 is tamasic. One who takes but doesn't pay back is a tamasic fellow. Rajasic fellow takes and pays back through action also, but his attitude is, what I will get from this action. He is doing it as a business. Expectations. Therefore he says he cooks but eats sin. Means sin means mental agitations. He is bound. He is not free. The third category, which is the supreme most category, the sattvic category. He says they understand that they are partaking the benevolence of the totality. They have obligation to pay back. Like Prophet Muhammad says, he is best amongst us who is best in repaying. The entire life is a repayment. As I told you once, Brahmachari life is for you to strengthen the personality. right? The process of strengthening. So up to about 25-27 years, you go on strengthening, you are provided with everything by the parents and society. You don't have an obligation to pay back. I mean, you are doing PhD, who pays you? There's a stipend you get, right? The government is giving you the money, college is giving you the money for you to study. But after you've done your study and everything, you go into grihastha. Your time now is to pay back. Right? Not to think in terms of what I can get, but to think in terms of what I can give. And when you give, even as a result of such action of giving, you get something in back. That also you must share. That is, even subtler, one is doing it with an attitude of giving back, not expecting anything in return. But as a result of your action, you will get some byproducts. That also you should start sharing. Then you become best of the sattvic. You listen. So a sattvic person eats the remnants of sacrifice. Rajasic person cooks but eats sin. Tamasic person enjoys without producing. He is a thief. These are the three types of people he spoke about. Now verse number 14 and 15, which are very important verse, is going to emphasize on yajna, how everything has evolved from yajna, and how yajna alone is the way to reach Brahman. He's going to talk about that in verse 14 and 15. Very, very important verses. This entire portion is very interesting and important, and especially verse 14 and 15. He says that this German Dharma Chakra is maintained by yajna. Dharma means order. There is order in this world because of yajna. So let us chant verse 14 and 15 together. Anna bhavanti bhutani, anna bhavanti bhutani, parjanyananna sambhavah, parjanyananna sambhavah, yajnat bhavati parjanyah, yajnat bhavati parjanyah, yajnat karma samudbhavah, yajnat karma samudbhavah, anna bhavanti bhutani, parjanyananna sambhavah, yajnat bhavati parjanyah, कर्म समुद्भवः कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं विद्धि कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं विद्धि ब्रह्माक्षर समुद्भवं तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म तस्मात् सर्वगतं ब्रह्म नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितं नित्यं यज्ञे प्रतिष्ठितं कर्म ब्रह्मोद्भवं विद्धि ब्रह्माक्षर समुद्भवं तस्मात् सर्वगतं Anna bhavanti bhutani. Anna means food. From food comes beings. Bhutani, beings, come from anna, food. From where does the food come from? It says parjanya. Parjanya, anna, sambhava means food comes from rain. Parjanya means rain. From where does rain come? It is yajna bhavati parjanya. From yajna comes rain. From yajna activity comes rain. Yajna, where does yajna come from? Karma samudbhava. Yajna is born of action, comes from action. And where does karma come from? It says karma brahma brahmodbhava. It comes from Brahma. Brahma here means Vedas. The context means Vedas. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Know that karma comes from Brahma, Vedas. Brahma, where is Brahma? It says Brahma Akshara Samudbhava. Comes from imperishable, means Brahman. Brahma comes from Brahman. Brahma here means Vedas. So Vedas come from Brahman, Akshara, imperishable Brahman. Vedas are said to be the breath of Brahman. Vedas are called it apaurusha. Apaurusha means it's not man-made. It is beyond the human intellect's conception. It is something that is revealed. It is not something that is remembered. It is not the work of man's mind or intellect. It is something that comes beyond mind and intellect, from Brahman himself. So it is said, Vedas come from Brahman. Right? In other words, Vedas reveal the self. Revealing the self is only possible by the self. What can reveal the self is only the self. Unless you cross the mind and intellect, you can't reach the self. Therefore, self alone can express the self, not the intellect. Understand? So, see, this is an agriculture metaphor that is used to convey something very deep. What he is saying here is, how you have come about. All of us, this body has come about from food. Food digested produced semen and blood, and from that this body has come about. Right? And this body is maintained by what? Food. Therefore this body is called as Annamaya Kosha. Right? Annamaya Kosha. This body is nothing but a food sheet. Food produces this body, maintains this body, and finally when the body perishes, it becomes food. Even now while we are living, mosquito comes and happily feeds on us. So many insects are feeding on us. This body is nothing but food.
In other words, matter.
Matter, exactly. So this itself gives a kind of objectivity. You understand? But that's not how we look at the body. If you keep on chanting this verse and start understanding, you will have a certain amount of detachment with reference to the body. When we say detachment with reference to body, we don't mean indifference. You will take care of the body, but you will not be body-centered. Veda is never against body. Veda only says, don't be body-centered. So, Anna Bhavanti Bhutani. Upanishads talk about how food goes in the formation of the mind also. Even later on in this Bhagavad Gita, he is going to talk about sattvic food, rajasic food, tamasic food and all that. So food, from food comes beings. Now where does food come from? We know that, rain. Without water there can be no agriculture possible. Right? And water comes from rain. All sources of water, whatever source it might be, it actually comes from
rain.
How does the rain come? How does the rain come? Forget this verse now, temporarily. How does rain come?
It comes from the sea and the evaporation.
Sun's heat.
Evaporates
the ocean. And the water gets condensed, pours down as rain, the cycle continues. So, literally also, they say, when you perform yajna, the rain comes. The connection between yajna and rain is explained in the conversation between Janaka, Yajnavalkya and the Brahmana portions of the Vedas. Now, even otherwise, what he is trying to say is, when each and every individual does what he or she is supposed to do, he means the person concerned, each and every person concerned doing what they are supposed to do. As mentioned in the scriptures, as mentioned in the Vedas. Right? Scriptures only talk about what is good for us. First of all, scripture, shastra, means that which teaches and protects. Knowledge is a great protection. Knowledge helps you to live. You know, somebody, I'm just slightly deviating, but I'll come back. Somebody asked me this question. Do you think bankers are lenders or borrowers? What about the view are they? Are they lenders or borrowers?
They're both.
Okay. In what sense they are borrowers?
They
borrow from you.
Yeah.
Why? Because they know the knowledge of multiplying it. You do not know the knowledge. So you do not know what to do. You go to a consultant. Bank becomes your consultants. They say, we'll invest your money. And they will give you something, whatever. In other words, knowledge is important to live. Knowledge alone protects you. Without knowledge, you destroy yourself. Therefore, according to the sages, everybody who is destroying themselves and destroying the world are people who suffer from ignorance. So they say, children, children, bala, bala. So there are only two categories of people, ignorant and knowledgeable. So here, he says, Vedas declare actions for different category of people. Depending on the nature of the person, you are either a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever it is. And you are also in different stages of life, like Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Anaprastha, Sannyasi. Whatever it is, when each one has certain obligatory duties, when you do it without ego, when you do it with sattvic attitude, as he mentioned in verse number 13, like the Nike slogan says, just do it. When you do it in that spirit, without any expectation, then the ecological balance is maintained. Do you mean? When the ecological balance is maintained, then rain comes. Do you mean? Then the rain comes. But if each one starts selfishly functioning with an attitude of taking, which is what is happening nowadays. Because in the past we have planted so many trees, in the past we have done whatever had to be done, that the effect of that karma will go on for a while, in spite of our destruction now. But if we go on consistently destroying the nature, the effect of the past also will vanish. This is what is slowly happening everywhere in the world, if you see. So therefore, again, there is so much of talk about taking care of the nature, each one doing what he has to do. Now suddenly everybody started realizing that we are one world, not different countries. It is exactly what Vedas have been saying. In fact, Vedas say, there is only one kutumba, this Vasudeva kutumba. You all belong to that one kutumba. The visions of the Veda has always been broad, never been narrow. So this narrow-mindedness, which is against the concept of Ajna, the spirit of taking, and everybody starts getting into such an attitude, then there will be ecological imbalance. When there is ecological imbalance, then there will not be rain. When there is no rain, there is not enough food. Then there will be killing and all sorts of nonsense that will be happening. So from where does food come? Yajna. And how does Yajna come from? Activity that has been born from Vedas. Meaning, when everybody lives according to the scriptural injunctions, meaning performing karma yoga as it is mentioned for that ashrama, dharma that each one is. When they perform their duty accordingly, then there is so much of congenial atmosphere within and without. There is harmony everywhere, in nature, amongst people, everywhere. Then the rain comes and blesses. That's what he said, nourish gods and may those gods nourish you. Nourish gods and may those gods nourish you. The moment you start thinking in terms of what is in it for me, why should I do it? Even if any part of your body starts thinking like that, let us assume that it has an independent capacity to think, and thinks, says, why should I keep on doing my bit? Anyway, I don't get any rewards, no salary increase, nothing. So what's the point in continuing to work and stops working? Slowly, slowly the system will succumb and get destroyed. So therefore it says, the whole thing is maintained by Yajna. And where does Yajna come from? Vedas. Right? Vedas. Vedas talk about various activities. various karmas. Yajna activity is spoken in the scriptures. So when you follow yajna, then there is rain and productivity, food. If you do not follow that, then it goes the other way. What happens if you don't follow? He talks about it in the next verse. So he says, where does Veda come from? Vedas come from Brahman. This is what I told you. When any person goes beyond the ego, when he merges the individuality with the total, he becomes Brahman. He has become one with Brahman. He has gained the knowledge that he is not other than Brahman. When we say he has become one with Brahman, doesn't mean that he was something other than Brahman earlier. He was Brahman then also. The difference was that earlier he didn't know that he is Brahman. Now he knows that he is Brahman. So he has become Brahman, meaning he has become one with Brahman. He has got the knowledge that he is Brahman. So Vedas have come from people who have reached that self. Therefore we say it is apaurusham. It is not something that is born out of human effort. It is something that is beyond human effort. Hence we call it as shruti, means revealed. In the deep meditative states, the Vedas are supposed to have born. Therefore they say Vedas are born from the very beginning, along with the creation. Anyway, so what we need to understand is, the scriptures talk about yajna activities. Out of our selfishness, we may not adhere to yajna activities. When out of our selfishness we don't adhere to yajna activities, it is like killing ourselves. So wherever there is togetherness and doing activity for the welfare of everybody, loka sangraha, then there is productivity. Then that society is blessed. So even in an organization, if each one thinks in terms of what I will get, rather than keeping the interest of the organization, as a family it should keep the interest of the family, not the individual. As a country it should keep the interest of the country. As a globe, the interest of the globe. Not that you send all the waste from your country to some other country silently. You understand? Dumping. They don't understand. See, it's like, the thing is, it's like each right hand putting all the waste, dumping it in left hand. You understand? If you think, let the kidney get corrupted, doesn't matter. If the kidney gets corrupted, you will also get affected and corrupted. You don't understand this. So all this is being born out of ignorance. In fact, we in the exam we would have answered, how many continents are there? How many oceans are there? You would answer, seven, this and that, right? Actually, is there seven oceans? There is only one. We have put the, what do you call, the partitions and given names, which is good for our practical day-to-day living. You understand? For our daily living, for our practicality, the intellect comes in, pitches in, and then these things are being demarcated. But in total, we must always remember this, that there is only one world. We are all part of it. So if I do something bad for you, it is bad for me also. I'm doing bad for myself. So if you gain this knowledge, would you think in terms of others' prosperity or others' destruction? The moment you understand this, you will pray for everybody, not just for yourself. So it is Anna Bhavanti Bhutani. It's easy to remember. Parjanya Anna Sambhava. Where does rain come from? Yajna. Yajna Bhavati Parjanya. Yajna Karma Samudbhava. Karmodbhavam Brahma Vidhi. Karma Brahmodbhavam Vidhi. Brahma Akshara Udbhavam. Tasma, therefore, Sarvagatam Brahma. In the second line of the second of verse 15 in word Brahma is used where it is meaning Brahman, the ultimate Brahman. You understand? Brahman. Nityam yajne pratishtitam. Therefore, the all-pervading Brahman ever rests in yajna. So, in other words, what he is saying is, how did you come about through yajna? How do you get back to Brahman?
Through
yajna. Understand it this way. There is a huge boulder. There is a huge boulder. What do you mean? Boulder is there. Boulder is not understood as boulder. The non-understanding or non-apprehension of the boulder brings about the misapprehension of an elephant. There is a rope lying on the ground. You don't understand the rope as a rope. Non-understanding of the rope, can it produce the misunderstanding of an elephant? It can only produce misunderstanding of a snake or something else. Similarity must be there. So Vedanta says, there is only Brahman. The non-apprehension of Brahman has brought about the misapprehension of this universe. This universe is made up of time, space and causation. Time is eternal, space is all-pervading, causation is endless. Time is eternal, space is all-pervading, causation is endless. Isn't it? Time, space and causation, if you take away, there is no world. This we understand. So what are these qualities of time, space and causation? Eternal, all-pervading and endless. These are the same qualities of Brahman also. Brahman is eternal. Brahman is all-pervading. Brahman is endless. So what Vedanta is saying is, what is there is only Brahman. Due to the non-understanding, non-apprehension of Brahman, we have produced the misapprehension of this world, which is also eternal, endless and all-pervading. So Vedanta says, you have created this world out of Brahman due to your non-apprehension. Are you being? So Brahman is there. The very existence of Brahman gives the potential of non-understanding Brahman as Brahman. When there is Mr. Chatterjee, the existence of Mr. Chatterjee produces the potential of non-understanding Mr. Chatterjee as Mr. Chatterjee. Are you with me? If Mr. Chatterjee was not there, can you not understand Chatterjee? Chatterjee has to be there. So Chatterjee is there. The very existence of Mr. Chatterjee gives rise to the potential of non-understanding Mr. Chatterjee as Mr. Chatterjee. And when you don't understand Mr. Chatterjee as Mr. Chatterjee, you can bring about Mr. Banerjee.
Anyway.
Misapprehension. Therefore, what Vedanta is saying is, this world is nothing but Brahman. This world is nothing but Brahman. Okay. The non-apprehension of Brahman in the context could be taken as Brahma. Because it is a non-apprehension that is the cause of creation. Brahman is not the cause of creation. Remember this. Brahman has no motive to create. If you put in motive to Brahman, then Brahman is reduced to an individual like you and me. If you say Brahman created the world, it's like you creating a painting. You have a desire to create a painting because of your incompleteness. So if you say Brahman created this world, then you are putting motive in Brahman to say that Brahman is also incomplete. By God we mean something that is complete. By Brahman we mean something that is complete. If something that is complete, then how can it have an urge to create? So it is not Brahman that is creating, it is the non-apprehension of Brahman that is creating. So non-apprehension of Brahman has come from where? From Brahman. Ignorance has come from
Brahman.
Reality. You understand?
There is the ignorance is there.
important that you understand. Ignorance of
Brahman has come from
Brahman. And that ignorance produces the creation, has caused this creation. Are you with me? The non-apprehension. So from Vedas come activities of the activities. From ignorance comes activities, and all of these activities, yajna activities is there. And by doing yajna activity, you create congenial atmosphere. By congenial atmosphere, the food, life, activities spring forth. If you look at it from the corporate point of view, when everybody functions in yajna spirit, keeping the organization in organization as central, and they do their activities, then what happens? Congenial atmosphere is there. A productivity increases. Food is productivity. And productivity increases, what happens?
Prosperity
increases, which is shared by everybody. Right? So what he says is, if you want to get into material success into this world, you must follow yajna activity. If you want to get into spiritual success, which is realizing self, what do you have to do? By doing yajna activity, you will be destroying your vasanas. When you destroy your vasanas, slowly, slowly you get back to Brahman through knowledge.
Can I ask
you a question? Yes. No, you can ask if it's pertaining to this.
Brahman, as of now, we're defining as unmanifest and complete. And
yes.
So, to God. And then, because of ignorance, because of non-apprehension.
Of Brahman as well.
Brahman. Let's say I, because of non-apprehension or ignorance of Brahman, so I...
you have brought about the disapprehension of this world. See, for example, I'll explain this with the example of waker and dreamer. Mamta is the waker. Mamta goes to sleep. And in Mamta, when Mamta goes to sleep, she is sadhana, just a name given for the dreamer, let us say. And sadhana is experiencing dream world. Where from sadhana and the dream world has come about? From Mamta's mind. Mamta's mind. Are you with me? Mamta's mind is the waker's mind. From waker's mind, the dreamer and the dream world comes about. The flora, the fauna, the enemy and friends, everybody in the dream has come from Mamta's mind, the waker's mind. Okay. Sadhana, in the example, doesn't know that she is essentially Mamta. This is what they are saying. So, out of ignorance of Brahman, the misapprehension of this world is seen. If Sadhana understands that she is Mamta, then she knows everything in the dream is Mamta. Then she knows that there is only Mamta.
Brahman is, when you say Brahman is unmanifest and God, equal to God, and then you have Brahma, the creator.
So here, if you look at it from one interpretation, Brahma is looked as Vedas. Another way if you look at it, Brahma is looked as Vasanas, ignorance. The ignorance is the creator. We say Brahma is the creator, right? What creates this universe is your ignorance. And so, therefore I am saying, from another angle, there is Brahman. Then ignorance of Brahman is Brahma. That creates activity, action.
Brahman and Brahma.
Ignorance of Brahman in the context is taken as Brahma.
Because led to, ignorance has led to...
Ignorance is the cause.
The cause.
Of creation. What? There is no ignorance, there is no vasanas, there is no creation.
But at the same time, Brahma, the creator, you said is equivalent to the Veda, which is knowledge.
Yes, if you take from that sense, even Vedas are part of world.
Because created.
Yes.
It's created because of ignorance.
Yes. No, no, no. Listen, don't get confused too much. Vedas are also part of the created. Right. Sound. The sound is also part of the created. Are you with me? So, the moment it is created, means it's part of the world. Part of the world means Maya. So therefore, in the Shastra, they say, Vedas, Vedanta is also Maya. But they are like Swapna Simha Vat. Swapna Simha Vat means, in the dream, the lion comes. That lion that comes in the dream, Swapna Simha Vat means like a lion in the dream. When you dream, a lion is coming in the dream. The lion is also part of the dream. But the lion frightens you and you wake up. So similarly, even Vedas and Vedanta are part of
Maya,
the world. But that has a unique distinction of waking you up. You understand? That has a unique distinction of waking you up. So we say Vedas are Vidya Maya, the rest are Avidya Maya. Avidya Maya means it goes on trapping you, making you get trapped in Maya more and more. But Vedas and Vedanta, no doubt, they are also part of Maya. But they are Vidya Maya, meaning slowly, slowly, slowly they will wake you up. Once you have woken up, mark my words carefully, once you have woken up, you understand that Vedas are also part of the dream, Maya. Don't go over saying, anyway, it's part of Maya, why should I study? So I am saying, once you wake up.
Way out is
Yajna. So I am saying, they go for material success and spiritual success. That's why we say, for both material success and spiritual success, the way out is
yes. So in for us, people like us, yajna now would imply sacrifice.
Yes, doing your actions without ego-centric desire, an egoistic attitude. When you go on doing it in that spirit, you will be attaining material success also. Right?
So literally it means sacrifice, and in other words, it means egoless action.
Yes.
Means giving without looking for validation, not looking for any expectation.
Validation, but you get that expectation, so I said, make a fruit.
No,
if you're not looking.
In the beginning, if you're getting expectations,
it will come.
Continue doing your actions with expectations because you have no choice. But at least say, okay, whatever results come, I will leave it to God.
Yeah.
You understand? Supposing you say, that also I am not able to do, then I say, how are you? I don't know what else to say. Scripture tells you this. You should act without expectations. But today my mind is, how much ever I study, my expectations are there. Take care, continue with expectations. Okay, but at least whatever results that will come, even though I expected, the results need not necessarily come out of the, come to meet my expectations. It can be the other way around. At least that I say I leave it to God. That also I can. Okay, then what am I supposed to do? I don't know. See, in other words, yajna, if you do your actions as we studied now in yajna portion, the byproduct will be success. The byproduct will be profit. Because the person is fully involved in, when I say involved, I mean fully objectively doing the action. He's not taking the side of profit or loss or anything. His mind is absolutely calm. When the mind is calm, your intellect becomes sharp. Your body becomes dynamic. So when you thus act, the result of such action will be success. You understand? So for material success also, you should function in the spirit of yajna. Really. So the person who starts the organization, who has invested the money, should not think in terms of I am the employer. Actually the employer is who?
The business.
All of you are doing business, so at least answer this question. Who is the employer?
The customer.
Customer. Consumer who buys from you. If he is not buying, you understand? You will not be employed. There is no business. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So you have to have the attitude that customers are the employers, then who am I who is investing money? I am an investor. You understand? The word employees service providers. Without the service providers, the investor will not be able to cater to the needs of the customers. And customer who is not satisfied will not pay dividends to the investor. And investor will not be able to take care of the service providers. So everybody is interdependent. If you understand this and function, you are doing any activity. No, I am very important, I am the most important, I am the one who has invested so much money, so therefore I am the boss. Supposing you have that attitude, then you are not functioning in the spirit of yajna. And when the leader is not functioning in the spirit of yajna, then the followers also will not function in the spirit of yajna.
No, but I have a different question.
No, I will come to your question. My point is, thus, when you function in the spirit of yajna, automatically material success will come. Right? So success and peace you get. And thus slowly you will reduce vasanas also. When you go on reducing vasanas, you will attain mental detachment. You listen, you rise above the material world. And then you become more and more qualified for jnanam. Through jnanam, you can go to Dhyanam, and through Dhyanam you can go to realization, Brahman. So therefore, if you want to grow spiritually, perform Yajna. You want material success, then also perform Yajna. Even though the tatparyam in this verse is only to get back to the self. But we can deduce from this verse, he is not talking about material success here directly. But actually what he is saying is, all pervading Brahman rests in yajna. Therefore, the all pervading Brahman ever rests in yajna, sacrifice. So sacrifice can be literally taken as the Agnihotra yajna and all other yajnas. Or you can take it as any activity that is performed with an attitude of service and sacrifice without the ego coming in between. Yes, now what's your question?
My question is, you try and do the thing with your objective. You're very clear whether sacrifice or, you know, you've done it detached. You know you have to do this, you're doing it. Like in my case, nobody agreed, but I still did it. I was convinced what I wanted to do was correct. Whether somebody accepted and I accepted didn't work further to me. I did it. Now people are coming to understand my point of view and are coming towards. I told you like my family dispute. Bhavi, this is like only Gita class. Like they've manipulated to the extent of even my mother's barsi. So I felt it was beyond me to accept that. So I wrote, explained, nothing happened. So I said, fine, do what you want to. I'm going to the mandir and bring the basi. Or none. So then I wrote to everybody, and if I'm wrong, please tell me. This is my explanation. If I'm wrong, please tell me. I didn't want to get into argument, I didn't want to, because I felt very strongly about it. Now people, and I left it. I didn't bother also. You know, I said, okay, I'm doing what I want to, what makes me happy. I'm not doing it to insult anybody, I'm not doing it to fight, but I'm doing it because I genuinely feel it is totally wrong what they're doing. I try to explain, they're not explaining, they're understanding. One is saying one is going on a holiday, whatever the explanation, the other is saying it's her house, so I can't step into it. I say, I'm not even wanting to step into your house, I'm going to mind it. Now people are coming and saying, acha, when are you doing it? Tell me, I'll come. Now I'm getting very confused. I know what I'm doing is correct. I don't want to make it an issue that, oh, I can't ignore my sisters. But I started getting, and I didn't want to, I've not done it as a fight. I've done it.
So what's your doubt now?
That I'm now trying to, I'm getting into that doubt in my mind. Oh, now I'm winning against my sisters. I don't want to get into that state.
It's not a question of I don't want to get you. Get into it. Your mind is now saying I have run over my over.
First of all, I have run over my own fear.
Whatever. Now that feeling is there. Okay, ideally speaking, you are saying I shouldn't be even having that feeling, but I'm not in the ideal condition now.
Okay,
you understood that. That itself is a great condition. Firstly, please understand, to be able to be recognizing the disease that you have is a great condition. So in my class I say diabetes is the last warning you have. A lot of people who have been diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 40 are still living at the age of 80 and 90, because after that they followed the discipline. If you followed the discipline before, probably you would have avoided it, fine. Right, but you didn't. But at least after that. So now that you realize that you have this, at least the feeling is coming, the mind is coming. Okay, I should not be ideally having that, but it is coming, it's fine. Let me say, okay, God, I give it to you.
Yeah.
It's all because of you. And continue with your actions. What else can you do? That's what I'm saying. The expectations are there, these sort of feelings are there. You are not yet that kind of evolved person, fine, doesn't matter. But wherever you are, say Sarvam Krishna Param, continue your actions. That's all it is. There's nothing much to get confused here.
So you don't blame yourself.
Yeah, it's there, anger is there. Disease are there.
What is there?
You continue doing your action from this level, you go to the next level. You are at this level, better. At least don't go down to previous level. So, here this verse, the tatparyam is to get back to Brahman. See, remember this. Getting back to Brahman alone is the solution. When I say getting back to Brahman, again and again I am emphasizing, it is not that you are not Brahman now, you are only ignorant. So, ultimately, Vedanta is only talking about gaining knowledge. Only knowledge is the solution. Knowledge is the one that can save you, knowledge of Atma. But today you are not that much introverted to sit down and dedicate your life for the gaining of knowledge. Like I said, once a week on Tuesday morning, that itself we are not able to consistently dedicate our time on and off. And therefore we have got this technological support of recording the class. And believe me, if you go very very strictly, nah, all these things should not be done. You know, in the ashram, whatever Swamiji teaches in the ashram is also being recorded. But that is not being made as a CD and so on. Swamiji gives lectures in the public domain. Every year he comes to Delhi and Chennai and all other places all over the world for 5 days. Whatever we are doing now, I don't know how many days we will take to finish this third chapter. But in 5 days or 4 days, Swamiji will finish the 3 chapters. It's obviously he can't go into too much of it. And obviously people who are coming are also not come with that kind of introvertedness. So there will be certain things not covered in depth. Understand? Whatever has to be said will be said. But we will not go into that depth. Only that is being shown. Made as CDN being distributed. But what which is being done in the academy is not enough. So few people had asked me, sir, why not they came? We want to study but they are not able to go. I said, in the first chapter I pointed it out to you. When Yudhishthira is asking Duryodhana, Sanjaya, what is happening between my sons and Pandu's sons? Then Sanjaya says, King Duryodhana went up to Drona, his teacher. There I pointed out to you, when you go to a teacher, you don't go as a king. Even if you are a king, first of all, Duryodhana is not the king. From the body language, Sanjaya is saying, he walked as though he is king. Whoever you are, when you go to your guru, you go as a sishya only. There is a bhavana in which you approach. So the Shastras say, don't teach to people who do not ask. Or don't teach to people who do not ask improperly. Suppose as we are talking, you will put your feet on the chair and say, tell me what is this. Don't teach. With bhavana, properly it should be asked. All these things are being said in the scriptures. Right? So when you go to a guru, you go as a shishya, not as a king. As I said, this is a very, very inspiring thing. Somebody told me this, and it must be correct. When our ex-president, Dr. Shankar Dayal Sharma, visited Uma as a president, when he was president, he visited Uma Nadi, the king of Uma, Sultan Qaboos. He is supposed to have personally driven the car to receive Dr. Shankar Dayal Sharma. Do you know why? Because when Dr. Shankar Dayal Sharma used to teach in Pune, I believe he studied under him. So it's my teacher who is coming, so I must receive him personally. This should be the bhav. Understand? If the bhav is lacking, they say don't teach, no need to. The kind of tests, when you read some of the stories, that the shishyas will have to go through to be even accepted as shishyas. For example, Swami Chidananda, firstly the story goes that he went, he was, I forget his name, Balakrishna Menon or Nair or something, from Kerala. He was a very skeptical person. He in fact went to Himalayas and told to expose his gurus. He was a freelance journalist, to expose his gurus. But I met Swami Shivananda, a true person. Then he became his disciple. Then when he wanted to learn the scriptures, I believe Shivananda said, go to Tapan Maharaj. And Tapan Maharaj is in Uttarakhand. And those days there was no transport as we have nowadays, you know. A bell gadi, walking and all that, they must have caught hold of. And then he went up to Tapan Maharaj. And Tapan Maharaj said, "Acha, Shivananda sent you. Okay, did he give you any letter or something?" "No letter, nothing." "Okay, chalo, wapas jaake letter lekhe." "How do I know whether you are somebody who sent by Shivananda who has a qualification to study? Chalo, chalo." You know, he didn't say, "Sir, sir, sir, come that far, please," nothing. He went back, got the letter and joined away. Something like that was told to us. "You wouldn't have gone back to you, you would have gone back home." You understand? So, why I am mentioning this, ashram mein thoda sa tapas ho raha hai. Tapas karke you should learn. Tadvidhi pranipartena pariprashneena sevaya. Verse 34 chapter 4, you will get there, I will explain it. You should know the truth through prostration to the Guru and by questioning. You are allowed to question, but with devotion and prostration. Then bhav. Answers. Guru, when they talk about how a guru should be, guru should not expect anything. Otherwise, he is not a guru. You understand? But from the student point of view, he should serve. Through service, he develops the right mental attitude to absorb the knowledge. Anyway, why I am saying it here is, you know, you may not have 100% bhava. But whatever bhava to that extent. So you can't now gain the knowledge fully if you go strictly by that kind of high qualification. To whatever extent you have qualification, you continue, but continue to develop more and more qualification. That's what I'm saying. So strictly speaking, you have to gain this knowledge only after you become 100% introverted, none of us will be able to get there. So therefore, 1 hour in a week, little study in a week, you are okay. Right? And then we slowly, slowly do more of karma, basically. That's how our nature is. Karma yogena, yogina. We belong to that category. Right? So we do karma yoga. And then rise our stature to qualified being Jnana Yoga more and more. Believe me, the Gita that you are studying now and what you absorb from it will be the same Gita, but you will be absorbing much more when you have also developed yourself. This is the interesting thing that happens with Gita. When you study in the beginning, with a little development, you absorb this much. And that this much of absorption will make you grow little more. With that kind of a growth, you will absorb more from Gita. Same Gita. You will understand what I am saying. We have been talking on Gita for many years. And we see this happening to us. First when I was talking, and now when I am talking, you can clearly see. So therefore what you have to do? Continue your daily routine obligatory duties. Continue your karma in the yoga spirit. Do your karma yoga. Go on performing it. Yajna activities will slowly what? Right. Make you understand that ultimately in this world there is no happiness. It is inside me. So then you will start sitting focused on that inside. Today your mind is not like that much. Some people ask me, so can we join ashram? You can join ashram, but first find out what you are doing on Saturdays and Sundays. You got 2 days off, and those 2 days off, you are thinking about whose house I can go, which mall I can go, which movie I can go, and hardly any introversion. How can you go and sit in the ashram 24 hours, 365 days? You will not be able to do it. Within few months, you will run away from there. So you can now go visiting the ashram, but do your sadhana here. Then when you slowly see Saturdays, Sundays also, your mind is more and more interested in studying the scriptures, gaining the, you know, subtleties of it. Then say, yes, now I am really interested. Because after you went to ashram, somebody said, "Arey, some new car has come to the world, which can also fly." So, "Arey, I have never experienced it. I've been driving BMW 747 and all that, but this something that has come which can fly also." And then he says, "Swamiji, can I have vacation for 1 month and you go?" Because your mind will be there. You understand? So don't forget verse number 3 of chapter 3. Jnana yogena sankhyana karma yogena yogena. For the extroverted people, action. For introverted people, jnana. So 1 week we study, then we are supposed to do more and more karma yoga. Little study a bit. That's why we say begin your day with the study of the scripture. Then there is so much of extroversion. Continue doing the actions in the yajna spirit. And right about, then slowly you will see the study time becomes more and more. The evening also, then you want to go to the ashram during weekends and vacations. You listen, you want to sit and study. I'm not saying only our ashram, any ashram, but meaning you want to sit and study. Basically, reflect. Your desires become more and more subtle. In the beginning, you have to offload the bulk of your desires. Without offloading the bulk, you cannot move. Now the attachments are binding you. Therefore, what you do? You have to slowly become free from the attachments. How do you become free from the attachments? Through karma yoga. You can only become free from the attachments through karma yoga. So this verse is the basic verse that talks about growing spiritually as well as materially. There is only one method, and that is yajna. Means what? To grow spiritually also you must act. You remember what Krishna said in verse number 4? What did he say? You can read verse number 4 translation. What did he say? Nakar mana mana rumba, naishkanyam purushoshnute. Did you say that?
Not by abstaining from action does man gain
actionlessness,
and nor by renunciation does he attain perfection.
So he is explaining that. See, Lord Krishna doesn't say something and leave it high and dry. He said something in verse 3 and 4. He is explaining it now in all these verses. You don't
gain actionlessness, the state of siddhi, by inaction. You have to do action, and which is what he is explaining now. Yajna activity helps you rise above action. You become mentally free from all these things. You become free to attend Vedanta class, that's what it means. Otherwise, Vedanta class may be happening in your house if you can't attend. Because there is so much of free occupations. Isn't it? In fact, I see this happening literally. What I am saying is happening literally also. Class is happening in somebody's house and they are not able to attend. What does that mean? You are preoccupied. Until they come and say, actually I want to really, really study these things, but you know, obligations, work. Does it mean that these people do not have work? They have become mentally free from the entanglement. So nothing wrong, you are now at that level. When you also become free from the entanglement, you become available. That's all it means. Isn't it? If you are sitting here and your mind is fully preoccupied with something else, you might as well sit there. What's the point in sitting here? So he's telling Arjuna, you are in that category. You can't directly go and sit in Vedanta class, which is what Arjuna wanted to do. Why did he want to do that? Not because he was born and training for it, because he found difficulty. What is the difficulty?
In killing his action.
Destroying his
relatives,
particularly Guru. And Pitamaha, Bhishma. Therefore, the difficulty was, so he said, thoda man mein chanchal ho gaya. So, Vedanta class ko gaya. Or rather, he is thinking of going to Vedanta class. That man mein chanchal is removed, then he says, hurry on to Vedanta class. And goes to other things. दुख में से मिलन सब खरे सुख में करे न को. Very very interesting name. Kabir says, you understand? So Lord Krishna very carefully says, Arjuna, you are still not qualified. Abhi nahi. You can't turn a pro yet. Continue practicing golf. You understand? You have not yet turned a pro. Continue practicing. Practicing ke liye you don't have to give up anything in the world. Without giving up anything in the world, with the help of knowledge, give up the doership. Don't give up the doing. Give up the doership. Continue in the world. Place it. Initially you are supposed to play safe. Isn't it? Afterwards, not that you don't play safe. Afterwards, you know you've gone beyond it. At the moment, there is a doubt whether I will be able to lead the life of a sannyasi. Okay. Go through grihastha-ashrama. But go through grihastha-ashrama dharmically, keeping the dharma stick with you. You understand? Keeping the dharma stick with you, go through the grihastha-ashrama. Slowly, you will rise above. Then there will be sannyasa buddhi coming automatically. When sannyasa buddhi has come, then you decide whether you want to take up sannyasa lifestyle or not. What is important is sannyasa buddhi, not the sannyasa lifestyle. Then you may decide to take up sannyasa lifestyle, you may not take up sannyasa. That's a different matter. This is how you grow. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, and through Arjuna, to all of us, that don't give up doing, but rise above doership. When you rise above doership and the enjoyership, slowly, you go to the next level. Then you can concentrate fully in gaining the knowledge, and then jnana siddhi will happen. And when jnana siddhi happens, you will be able to go into total
absorption of knowledge and realization. How beautifully, methodically they presented. So the very word when they say Anna Bhavanti Bhutani, everything is food. Food when you consume. Before you consume, it was outside. Once you consume, it is gone inside. And after some time it gets digested, then it becomes you. Isn't it? It has become the blood, it has become you. So there is direct connection between everybody. If you look at it. So when you start looking at just little bit of reflection when you do on this sentence, Anna Bhavanti Bhutani, it will do something to you. Just little reflection. Thoda sa detachment aayenge. Just this, just this matter. So you keep on reflecting on these verses. And without rain, the food is not possible. And I am not doing this rain directly. So what do I have to do? I have to do what I am supposed to do without any claim of doership. I can't act without food. What gives me energy? You understand? And that food has come from nature, for which so many people have contributed. So that is why Vedas say, your son or daughter is not yours. They have come into this world through you. Very, very deep. So in our art of parenting, I say this. Real art of parenting is when you have this bhava. That my children have come into this world through me. They are not mine. You understand? The first thing we need to understand is, so since they have come through me, I have an obligation to make sure that they are not a liability to the society. They are an asset. So I have an obligation to do my towards my children. They actually don't have any obligation to me. So I should do my duty without any expectation. When you talk to children, you say, you could not be what you are without the contributions of your parents in the society. So you have an obligation to pay back. But as far as the parents are concerned, you have an obligation to give to your children. Very, very interesting concepts. So what I am mentioning is, these are verses for you to do deep reflections. It will do something to you. Slowly you will become little detached. As we are discussing only, it is doing something to you. Anna Bhavanti Buddha. Just food. So if you do not understand that you are part of the total, from this angle, and start claiming superiority. There is a beautiful poem called Mountain in the Squirrel. Mountain in the Squirrel had a poem, it's by Emerson. And the mountain said, hey, I have a huge talent, you're nothing. So the squirrel says, talents differ. All is well and wisely put. If I can't carry forest on my back, neither can you crack a nut.
So we can be rude and just eat something, my sugar is dropping.
If I cannot carry forest on my back, neither can you crack a nut. So if you understand this, then you will function in the cooperative spirit. Spirit of yajna. So he says, catch hold of that spirit of yajna, cooperative spirit. Not competitive, but cooperative. Organization should have cooperative spirit, not competitive spirit. Then the organization's profit potential increases. You become both materially successful, mentally peaceful, and slowly rise above your vasanas. Your vasanas reduce. Human being minus vasanas equals God.
God plus vasanas equals human being. When your vasanas are reducing, slowly you go towards Brahman. So to materially prosper and spiritually evolve, the method is
karma yoga.
Yajna. Don't forget it. Yajna. Om Purnamadah Purnamidah Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.